Culture Show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Tan caliente ahora!
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff. It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture. And before we get started, I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal people who are the traditional custodians of this land from where we are broadcasting today. I would like to pay my respect to elders past, present and emerging of the Eora Nation. So hello and welcome to So Hot Right Now. As always, we have a lot of things to talk about. Interestingly, I realized this morning that all of our stories today are kind of related to diasporic experience. So it's a kind of a little bit of a theme that we can run with today. We are talking about a familiar place I've never seen, which is a really interesting exhibition opening up at Casula Powerhouse Art Center this or next weekend. We're talking about You So Far Away, which is another visual art exhibition happening at AD Space over at UNSW Art and Design. And then first up on the show, we are talking about an exhibition and performance that responds to intergenerational trauma, inherited memory, and diasporic experience. So stay with us. We've got a lot to talk about over the next hour. I'm hoping my voice will kind of improve a little bit, but as always, I don't want to speak for the talent, so we'll get to hear from a lot of different and interesting artists from around Sydney. To get us warmed up, here is a track from 3070 off their album Elevate. This is Slanging. You're tuned into 2SER.
Thank you.
That is a track there from 3070 called Slangin'. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, and right now we are talking about performance artist Alex Talamoes, who draws on family testimony, cultural references, and media images to illuminate facets of a brutal military dictatorship in Argentina in 1976. So performance and exhibition entitled 30,000 Shots, Gestures from the 1976 Argentinian Dictatorship reflects upon the atrocities from Alex's diasporic perspective growing up in Australia. So I'm joined now by Alex to tell us a little bit more. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So I thought a good place to start would be with your father's experience, because he migrated from Argentina in during the time of the military dictatorship. So can you tell us a little bit more about his experience and your experience learning about his experience?
Yeah, so yeah, as you said, he grew up during the military dictatorship, which was from 1976 till 1983. And it's so far removed from my experience growing up in Australia. And that's really the sort of generative start of this exploration in the exhibition. Is like, how do I experience that through all the stories that he's told me throughout my life? Stories that have become so familiar, they feel like memories. And try and draw on this idea of inherited memory to think about that process. So some of the things that have translated over this time is thinking about how he, even just choreography, how he negotiates space. So in a military dictatorship, you have tanks going down the street, you have secret police waiting on corners. So he's really aware of crowds moving, for example. So anytime there's a large crowd moving down the street, he'll want to know, is there a train station nearby? Or he thinks about that person in the coffee shop. Why aren't they drinking coffee? You know, things that other people just wouldn't notice in Australia. But it's a choreography of noticing that has been transferred from that period to Australia. Yeah. And then growing up alongside him, these are some of the choreographies that I have inherited, that I've picked up on.
Yeah. And so is that, like, having grown up with those experiences and your dad responding to things in that way, do you respond to things in a similar way or not so much?
Kind of. Like, certainly parts of it. I certainly notice things that my friends don't walking down the street, but probably not to the same heightened anxiety that I see in him at times. Mm. Yeah, it's quite interesting the way, like, what gets picked up and what gets left behind. And that's, you know, these sort of legacies of migration are what really interest me. You know, what are the facets that get translated and how do they get translated?
And so you're presenting at this exhibition a new performance work entitled 30,000 Shots. So that involves you posing 30,000 times for the camera over an 8-hour period. What inspired this part of the work?
Yeah, it's a pretty intense work. I do a lot of durational performance. So previously I did a work called 30,000 Steps, which was based on the protests by the Madres de Plaza de Mayo, who protested in Argentina during the military dictatorship by walking in a circle in the centre of Buenos Aires. And so I walked from sunrise to sunset in a circle for 30,000 steps, which was 12 hours. So this work, it carries a similar lineage to that work, partly because, you know, he left Argentina because 30,000 people disappeared. And when he came to Australia, he met my mother. And so in some sense, I feel a deep relationship or responsibility that because all these people disappeared, that was the cause of his migration and therefore the cause of my existence. So in this work, I was thinking more about other choreographies, so things like gestures from the dictatorship and how I might be able to experience that number 30,000, you know, in the body, because it's such an abstract number otherwise. Like, how do we understand 30,000? It's huge. Yeah, to think about 30,000 lives. So, yeah, this was another work based on choreography that I was trying to think about inhabiting this number, yeah.
And how was your experience? Have you, like, choreographed it, or is it, like, have you, like, worked with that number yet, or is it kind of only in the moment?
I have done a few trials. So I did about an hour of holding this particular pose. So it's based on a photograph that was a photograph I saw early on in my research around the dictatorship period. And it's actually a photograph that's been misattributed to Argentina by a lot of different news outlets. And But it's such an evocative image. The central figure is a policeman who's raising his arm up with like a bent elbow, and he's crouched down, ready to pounce up and bring his arm down in a sort of forceful blow. And the photojournalist has captured this really intense moment where there's a group of people just below him who are just civilians in the street. So this photograph was something that got etched in my memory and is one of those things that became part of the family mythology, but it's been misattributed. It was actually from the Spanish Revolution. And after years of research, I actually found the original photographer. So it's also about, so I wanted to recreate this photograph, this particular gesture. So I'll be standing there with my arm above my head for 8 hours in this sort of semi-crouched position. Yeah, but it's an interesting thing to think about what images get brought into our mythology and our memories. But yeah, I've only done it for an hour and it was pretty painful already.
So you're staying in the same position for 8 hours?
Yeah, that will be the attempt, and whatever happens in that process will be part of that attempt. So I imagine that at some point I'll have to lie down on the ground, or I'll have to bandage my arm or put ice on it, or think about those processes that happen in the act.
And that's your kind of way of connecting to, as you said, like the kind of abstract nature of a number like 30,000.
Yeah, that's right. Is to try and embody it, to think about what it is choreographically.
And so this work is also combined, this performance work, with an exhibition, with photographic and video works. Why did you choose to kind of combine these two things, and what dialogue are you hoping comes out of that?
I did a residency in Mexico. I was lucky enough to get an artist residency in Chapala. And during that residency, I made a lot of work. I did a lot of different actions in different places, and I recorded them just on, you know, iPhone and laptop and things like this. And a lot of the images I felt warranted a sort of their own viewing as documentation. And as thinking also about how legacies of migration, what I'm thinking about, this inherited memory, might be visually accessible in the legacies of the performance, the documentation. So these kind of different ways of thinking about, you know, how gesture is transferred across mediums as well as across people. So part of the exhibition will be showing some of the documentation from these actions that I did in Mexico.
And central to this work, which we've touched on in a variety of ways, is this idea of intergenerational memory. How have these kind of memories shaped, or kind of touched on your diasporic experience? And how is that kind of reflected in the work you've created?
Yeah. You've got some great questions. I'm just
sorry if they're hard.
No, they're great. They're really great.
It's a fruitful exhibition that you have to talk about.
Yeah. I think what I'm really interested in is what the second generation migrant experience is. So there's a lot of conversation at the moment, rightly so, about border identities. So what it is to be a migrant and experience, you know, sort of tugs from two different places or two different cultural origins. But, you know, this experience of the second generation, the generation after, as separate from that experience, is maybe not as well thought about. And when we think about, you know, the last 10 years and the mass migration that we've seen globally, thinking about these legacies of migration is going to be more and more important, critical to our understanding. And I don't think Australia, and indeed the world, has really got a grasp on the histories of migrations that have already occurred. You know, even in Australia, we haven't really gotten hold of what the legacies are of, displacement for Indigenous Australians or migrations that have already occurred. It's kind of like you get here and then you're expected, right, now you're Australian, great. Be part of this and forget everything that happened before.
I feel like I've noticed, I think maybe particularly this year and last year, that in the art world as well, there's a lot more emerging conversations about what it means to be a part of a diasporic community, and that's emerging in the art world. So it'd be interested to see if that flows on outside of the bubble in which we operate.
Absolutely, yeah. And how to understand diasporic communities where there's been loss of language or loss of other aspects that we think of as integral to cultural identification. So, yeah, that's, again, part of my interest in the choreography, is like what other elements of this cultural association can we draw from?
And just one last question. So this work is kind of embedded in familial experience. Mm. Did you consult your family? Like, what do they think of it? I want to know their perspective.
Yeah, so the first time I made work about my father, I interviewed him and didn't tell him I was interviewing him.
We're just chatting.
Yeah, we're just chatting. And then I told him afterwards it was recorded and I performed the work. This was in 2017. And he came to one of the last performances and we kind of did a private performance with him, my mother, and a couple other people who I knew, so just friends. And you know, it was incredibly moving. I think we both just cried the whole way through the performance, which was a really strange experience. But, you know, it's. I think he felt it was really important to be understood. I think when you spend a lot of your time in Australia feeling quite isolated, you know, because of racism or because of just feelings of cultural difference, to have your child recognize that in a really significant way was really important to him. So he's very supportive and my mother's very supportive as well. Yeah.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for chatting to me on the show this morning. It's been a pleasure hearing all about this exhibition.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
No worries. So we've just been speaking about 30,000 Shots, gestures from the 1976 Argentinian dictatorship or Argentina, Argentina just dictate whatever, you get the point. So that opens on March 18th at 107 Projects. When is the actual performance?
March 18th.
Okay,
it's on the opening day, so from it'll be from 10:30 until 6:50. There's an opening
very
event.
Specific.
Because of the 8-hour duration. So you can come in at any time during that time. But there will be an opening event for the last 20 minutes at 6:30 p.m.
Great. Yeah. And then it's also running until the 29th of March. This is all at 107 Projects and it's free to get there. So please do. We'll put all the details up on our show page if you missed anything. And you can also listen back to this conversation there. Right now, I'm going to play a track. This is from Shura, The Stage. You're tuned into So Hot Right Now. Are we gonna kiss? Exciting. I promised you my lips. Inviting. Take me by the hand. And lead me through the room. And it's so romantic. And I'm so pathetic. I can't see the stage.
Have you ever wondered where Muji's clean, minimalist style comes from? Learn about the Japanese craft movement that influenced the likes of Muji and Marie Kondo at Seikatsu Kōge, Objects for Intentional Living, exhibiting at the Japan Foundation Gallery from February 21st to May 23rd. The Japan Foundation Sydney sponsors 2SER 107.3.
That is Caterina Barbieri with Spine of Desire off one of my favorite albums of 2019, Ecstatic Computation. And up the top there, we heard from Shura with The Stage. And then in the middle, a new one out of Sydney from Georgia June. That was Baby Blue. You are listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. And stay with us because right after the break, we'll be chatting to Celine Chung, who is one of the artists presenting in You So Far Away, which is an exhibition of diverse media works happening at AD Space. To get us there, here is a track from Hushmos. This is a new one. This is Reva Akronon. You're tuned into 2SER.
רבותיי ורבותיי, ערב טוב ושלום רב על כולכם. כבכל שנה אנו פותחים החל מהיום בסדרה הקיצית שלנו כדורסל מעולם אחר.
Is Hushmos out of Germany with Reva Akronon. They're German, so I'm not really sure if that's in German because I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce it. But anyway, you're listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. And now we're talking about You So Far Away, which features several emerging artists coming together to explore a diasporic experience, using self-portraiture in diverse forms to explore a longing for connection that transcends personal and cultural identities. This exhibition engages a wide range of mediums, from pensive works on paper to the physical body in motion. Today in the studio, we have featured artist Celine Chang, examining the self through performance. Good morning, Celine. How are you?
I'm doing really good, Nicole.
Nice to see you again. Cool. So let's start with how You So Far Away explores a longing to bridge states of disconnect. Why do you think this is important to bridge and explore this sense of disconnect?
It is very important to explore this disconnect that we have as diasporic, as members of a diasporic community, because inherently, since our parents or previous generation have migrated to Australia, there is a sense that we could be disconnected to our culture since childhood. And through making art, we're making sense of this cultural confusion in between two cultures that we're raised in. We're seeking a connection to our culture, and in extension, that is a part of searching for our identity.
And so in your creative process of kind of going on this journey of back to self in some way, how have you explored that in your work? What is your kind of process with dealing with your diasporic identity?
Me personally, I feel like I haven't really delved into that. So I figured I might talk about the show and the artists within the show as a whole, because we all have very, very different ways of exploring our identity, whether that be the diasporic aspect of it or whether that be somewhere deep inside us that's personal. So a lot of us started looking, it's about looking internally and journeying through our memories, through childhood, looking for places and images that we feel connected to, that appeals to us. And that would normally be the starting point.
And so what has manifested out of that? What works are there, and what kind of, there's a variety of mediums happening.
Oh.
Can you describe visually what we can expect?
Of course. I'm very, very happy to be talking about the artists who are getting involved. Victor, who has been my friend since the beginning of studying at UNSW Art and Design, he's doing these really, really beautiful small-scale work of stitched photograph. He stitched into faces. He created shapes of the people that were once there, absences, and making that a very apparent and haunting image, using childhood photographs as a medium. And he also cuts into paper in a traditional Chinese, as a traditional Chinese technique. Sarah, she's actually a florist. So in her practice, you could see a lot of images of flowers that are very delicate, very dreamy, very impressionist, but in black and white. She uses pencil, ink, and photography, distorting and blurring these images of flowers and waves, and it's just very, very evocative. It has this very zen feeling to it. And Manhei, who's actually a freelance photographer doing fashion photography. So these artists, they all actually have very diverse practices out there. His style is bold. He has sharp contrast in his photography, but the one thing that's very, very surprising about his body of work, that it's really abstract. It's a series of digitally manipulated photographs that resemble the Ishihara test you do when you test for color blindness. And in that work, in that body of work, Culture Blind, he explores what it's like to have two culture blurred and mingling together in these circular imagery that kind of represents our consciousness.
So there's a huge kind of variety of works, and as you said, different forms of exploration. How do you think these works kind of come together, and what kind of conversation do you hope is created by their existence around one another, curatorially speaking, I guess?
This is a question that we've been asking in the beginning, actually. the way that the show was conceived was basically through just through friends that I have made in art school, in high school, just throughout my life. I've seen their work progress. I've seen them create works that they just keep growing into their creative selves. And I see these connections between our work. Like Victor, he's always been a very quiet, composed and organized person. He creates these sensitive and delicate works that are small scale, but you go up close and you see the details. So does Sarah, actually. The work she creates is very minimal, it's very sparse, but when you have a moment to yourself with her work, you would feel very, very still inside. And it just started off branching out from a network of friends I know whose work are growing in a way that allows people to enter a zone of introspection. When you look at their work, you feel like, oh, these all need to be in a space, in a quiet space where people could enjoy it.
What better reason to have an exhibition, like personal enjoyment? Well, thank you so much for telling us all about the show today on the show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. So you just heard from Celine Cheng, one of the emerging artists presenting work in You So Far Away. So this is happening at 80 Space, which if you don't know is at UNSW Art and Design over on Oxford Street. It's free to enter and it's open from the 17th of March until the 28th. So for more details, just jump onto the 2SER website and look for So Hot Right Now and we'll put all the relevant information up there. Stay with us because up around the corner we are talking about A Familiar Place I've Never Seen, which is a new exhibition opening up at Kasul Powerhouse Museum, and we'll be chatting about that up until about midday. To get us there, this is a track from Nairi. This is Boom.
That was how we did it, shooting up 100, driving without a permit. Flying any minute, and we never give a damn, cause we're up in our palace, full of hello heaven. 8, 9, 7, 11, screaming in the fucking lot, trying to get each other shot. Yeah, remember that's how we did. Don't forget my name. Sorry, I won't do that again. Soon let me fire, soon in your head. Soon I'm a liar for the things that I said. Soon cease fire, soon break bread. Soon we will tire for the things that were said. What we did in the shadows, wine and tequila. Drag each other under the table. Hit the bottle, hit the ceiling. Never coming up for air, yeah, we kept on believing. Garden of Eden. I was your Eve, yeah, you were my Adam. Some gave everything we got, now we don't even talk. I remember that's what we did.
Don't forget my name.
Don't you forget it.
In the place we met, when the bombs, they go off.
And they go boom in the morning, boom in your bed. Boom for the loving and the weed that we shed. Boom for the running, boom back again. For the sorry, I won't do that again. Soon let me fire, soon in your head. Soon I'm a liar for the things that I said. Soon cease fire, soon break bread. Soon we will tire for the things that I said.
Say
come say, 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 come say,
think turn up all night. If everything turn up,
don't forget my name.
If everything turn up,
the space on your chest.
If everything turn up,
don't forget my name.
If everything turn up,
the place we met, the bones that go off.
And they go boom in the morning, boom in your bed, boom for the loving and the weed that we shared, boom for the running, boom back again, boom for the sorry, I won't do that again. Soon there'll be fire, soon in your head, soon I'm a liar for the things that I said. Soon cease fire, soon break bread, soon you will tire for the things that were said.
Beautiful new track there from Nairi. That is Boom. Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. Right now we're talking about a familiar place I have never seen. So Western Sydney, as many of you know, is the most diverse and multicultural area in Sydney, with large percentages of the population born overseas. These different experiences, livelihoods and pasts are all factors that shape one's dreams. So in a new exhibition, A Familiar Place I've Never Seen, artists Jomakin Jafari and Danny Kennedy illuminate these dreams from the community. So these two artists interviewed residents all across Western Sydney, asking people what their dreams were and talking to them about these dreams. So these artists then interpreted these dreams using Persian calligraphy and photography to create the exhibition that is A Familiar Place I've Never Seen. So I'm joined on the line now by one of the artists, Dan, to tell us a little bit more about the project. Good morning.
Good morning.
So dreams are a really interesting concept. They define how we see our past and how we view our future. I'm really interested in what drew you to explore dreams.
I mean, I guess personally I've kept a dream diary for a very long time, probably since I was about 12 years old. So that's my personal interest. In terms of this particular exhibition, I guess I was really interested in the connection between dreams and places, like you said. I really think there's within every place, there's kind of a dreamscape. When you walk around the streets and you see houses and roads and shops and rivers, then someone's dreamt about all of those places. But it's not as simple as that, because local places can sort of get mixed up in dreams with faraway places, places that people have come from. I think in the case of Western Sydney, that's really interesting in that way. Yeah.
And something that's really interesting about this work is the kind of artistic process, because it involved both interviewing a lot of people and then kind of creatively interpreting the kind of data from those interviews. Can you enlighten us a little bit about that experience and what it was like for you and kind of how it all went down?
Right. To give a little bit of background, I met Jafari when I was sort of volunteer English teaching in Auburn. And I met Jafari and he said, I'm a calligrapher. And I was studying photography at the time. So we decided to do some work together. And for me, I don't remember how the idea of sort of putting the calligraphy on top of photographs started, but basically I think that the sort of the process of putting the calligraphy on top of the photographs and seeing the literal place with the sort of very artistic text rendering over the top kind of gives you a sense of that idea that within these sort of literal places there is this sort of psychology and text almost behind all of them. Yeah.
And did the people that you interview kind of partake at all in the process of the interpretation, or was that kind of just between you and Jafari?
It was mostly between me and Jafari, but I think most people that we interviewed were people that we you know, we did find some sort of random people on the street as well, but most people were people that we knew. And the whole thing took a long time to make. So over the course of that, we were sort of talking back and forth with those people and saying, you know, we've taken these photographs and which ones do you like, and things like that. Yeah.
And can you tell us some of the dreams, or can you tell us about some of the characters that you spoke to and what kind of came out of those conversations?
Right, yeah. So I think an example of a dream. Just about what I was saying before, one dream that really struck me was a woman that we talked to who dreamt that she was basically being chased through Auburn. And she said, for example, I know I'm in Turkey in my dream, but I'm in this local shop in Auburn. And then she's at the Duck River in Auburn, and it's set there, but she's sort of imagining that it's a sort of African country. And then she's in another shop, and it's Lebanon. She's got this sort of the local geography, and she's sort of getting chased through it, but she is at the same time sort of thinking that it's different countries. She interpreted that in terms of, I mean, she eventually got chased into her workplace and she was hiding in the cupboard, I think. So she interpreted that in terms of sort of being under pressure at work. But that dream really struck me in terms of the weaving together of different geographies, yeah.
And what kind of image, or like how has your understanding of the Western Sydney community been strengthened through dreams, and how has that kind of shaped the way you see people's experience, if that makes sense?
Yeah. I think it is that sense of people. I think it really brings home how people sort of can be living in two places at once, inside our heads in a way. That even though, you know, we're all here in Sydney, in Western Sydney, you know, we all have these other places that we carry around inside us, and that's a condition that we're in, and especially in Western Sydney, where lots of people have come from overseas. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of almost a challenging thing to talk about dreams because they're so ephemeral and hard to define and understand. Yeah. How are you hoping the community responds to your exhibition?
I just hope that everyone really, finds it an interesting exhibition. I don't think we're sort of trying to, especially. I think, you know, this is me and Jaffrey making artwork about dreams and about Western Sydney, but at the same time, yeah, it is they're very personal kind of work. So I'm not quite sure how to respond to that. I hope everyone loves it.
Yeah, that's always a good answer. Hope people enjoy, have a good time. Well, thank you so much for speaking to us on the show this morning. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. No worries. So we've just been speaking about A Familiar Place I've Never Seen. This opens at Casula Powerhouse Art Centre on March 21st. I think the opening is from 2 to 4pm, but I'll confirm all those details and put them all up on our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SCR website. Here is a track now from Eris Drew. This is Fluids of Motion. You've been listening to So Hot Right Now.
How deep do the fluids of emotion run? Joy. Pain. Joy. Pain. Pain. tears of exhaustion, tears hidden. Of emotion run.
To speak.
From the team behind Clipped Music Video Festival comes Clipped TV Premieres. Check out the latest unreleased music videos from Australia's most talented artists and filmmakers. Join our next premiere on March 17, where we showcase the latest from the likes of Miss Tandy, Aoife Echo, Mathis and Dooley. Screenings are followed by exclusive Q&As with the creators, then a networking happy hour. Tickets available from ourgoldenage.com.au. 2SER is a media partner of Clipped TV Music Video Premieres.
You have been listening to So Hot Right Now with myself, Nicole Beck, here every Saturday morning from 11 a.m. till 12 p.m. Listen back to anything we spoke about today if you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website. And until next week, here is some Faye Webster to get you to the top of the hour. This is Come to Atlanta, and I will see you all next week.